Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And since the Torah reading this week kind of coincides with the message, happens a lot, I figure we'll film at least the Torah reading part. We'll shut it off for comments after that, and then get into the message. But I am going to be reading from Leviticus, the 20th chapter. Leviticus 20. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "And you shall say to the sons of Israel, any man of the sons of Israel and of the aliens who are living in Israel, who gives of his seed to Moloch, shall certainly be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I shall set my face against that man, and shall cut him off from the midst of his people, for he has given of his seed to Moloch, as to defile my sanctuary and to pollute my holy name. And if the people of the land truly hide their eyes from that man, as he gives his seed to Moloch so as not to put him to death, then I shall set my face against that man and against his family, and shall cut him off, and all who go whoring after him, even going whoring after Moloch from the midst of their people. And the person who turns to mediums and to spiritualists and to whoring after them, I shall set my face against that person and cut him off from the midst of his people. And you shall sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am Yahweh your Elohim. And you shall keep my statutes and shall do them. I am Yahweh who is sanctifying you. And any man who curses his father and his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father and his mother, his blood shall be on him. And the man who commits adultery with a man's wife, who commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, the adulterer and the adulteress dying shall die. And a man who lies with his father's wife, who has uncovered the nakedness of his father, both of them dying shall die, their blood shall be on them. And a man who lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them dying shall die, they have performed a perversion, their blood shall be on them. And a man who lies with a male as one lies with a woman, both of them have done detestable things, surely they shall die, their blood shall be on them. And a man who takes a woman and her mother, it is wickedness, they shall burn him and them, burn him and them, and there shall be no wickedness in your midst. And a man who lies with an animal, dying shall die, and you shall kill the animal. And if a woman draws near to any animal to lie with it, you shall even put to death the woman and the animal, surely they shall die, their blood shall be on them. And if a man takes his sister, the daughter of his father, or daughter of his mother, and he has seen her nakedness, and he sees, and she sees his nakedness, it is a shame, and they shall cut off before the eyes of the sons of their people, he has uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity. And if a man lies with a menstruating woman and has uncovered her nakedness, he has made her fountain bare, and she has uncovered the fountain of her blood, even both of them shall be cut off from the midst of their people. And you shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, nor of your father's sister, because he has made naked his near kin, they shall bear their iniquity. If a man lies with his aunt, he has uncovered the nakedness of his uncle, and they shall bear their sin, they shall die childless. And if a man takes his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing, he has uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall be childless. And you shall keep all my statutes and all my judgments and shall do them, and the land where I am bringing you to live in it shall not vomit you out. And you shall not walk in the statutes of the nations which I am casting out from before you, for these they have done, and I am disgusted with them. But I have said to you, you shall surely possess their land, and I am giving it to you to possess it, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am Yahweh your Elohim who has set you apart from the nations. And you shall make a difference between the clean animals and the unclean, between the unclean fowl and the clean. And you shall not defile yourself by beast or by fowl or by anything which swarms the ground, which I have set apart to you as unclean. And you shall be holy to me, for I am Yahweh, for I, Yahweh, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to become mine. And a man or a woman, when there is among them a medium or a fortune teller, certainly they shall die. They shall stone them with stones, and their blood is on them." So this chapter is kind of a parallel to Leviticus 18, a lot of the same things in Leviticus 18 that are in here. But it really shows you, I mean, there's a lot of abominable things in here. I'm not going to get into real detail with some of them. They're pretty self-evident. But the point of it is that Yahweh is showing this is the way of the nations around you. And I think the point that we can get today, some of these things just 10 and 15 years ago, we would have thought, oh, how on earth did that ever happen? And here we are living in a day where we're starting to see these same things come up in society today. And the one thing we see is, like it talks about in Ecclesiastes, that when Judgment is not executed on an evil act speedily. It's in the hearts of the sons of men to do evil continuously. And I think this is the problem that we're seeing today, that not only is judgment not being taken on evil acts, but they're actually being supported. You know, things like homosexuality now, which clearly here in verse 13, if a man lies with a male, as one lies with a woman, both of them have done a detestable thing. Surely they shall die, their blood shall be on them. And now society is telling us, no, this is normal, this is okay. And really, we see the repercussions. But when we look here, we don't want the normal of Leviticus 20 of the nations around us to be our normal. And that's the big problem today, that the normal of society is changing very so quickly. The other thing I want to say before getting into some of the verses here is the same as with the purpose of man. I go a lot into Leviticus 18. I can easily go the same over here. That when Yahweh says that these things are detestable, they're wicked, they're evil before his eyes, what sinister person can look in Genesis then and try to say that Yahweh created the earth so that man would have to do these detestable acts? He didn't have any choice. You know, a man would have to marry his sister. For if there was only Adam and Eve at creation, who else can you marry? So clearly, just on that alone, if you understand the mind of Yahweh, Yahweh would never violate his word. He can never violate his character. And it's not Yahweh's character in any circumstance for a person to ever engage in any of these. Never mind Yahweh forcing the person to engage in these kind of vile acts. And as we see, they're all together, starting with verse 2, when we see that sons of Israel, man of Israel, and the aliens giving their seed to Moloch. And in these days, that was something that was common. You know, we could go to 2 Kings 23:10. 2 Kings 23:10. And he defiled Topheth in the valley of the sons of Hinnom. That's on the backside of the old city where we've been up there. Where sometimes when we go to David's tomb and we come to that backside, we see it. The valley of Topheth. He defiled Topheth in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, so that no man could cause his son and his daughter to pass through the fire of Moloch. So literally here, people were taking their children and they were sacrificing them to Moloch. You know, literally child sacrifice. Now, people that can look and say how wicked and sinister it is, and it is wicked and sinister, but when people abort their babies, you know, at least here there was a reason for it. That people were thinking, just like we said in the sacrificial system, people are thinking that they're giving their child and they're sacrificing this innocent child to some deity, and it's evil and wrong, but there was at least a reason. Today, with abortion, there really is no reason. You know, that we see promiscuity going on with adults and youth in our society, and what happens? They simply look at the life of a baby as nothing. You know, that you're looking in America alone, close to 2 million abortions a year. Worldwide, 30, 40 million abortions worldwide. It's unheard of. Every single year, you add those numbers up, and we're getting in the billions. I mean, how on earth can human beings act this way? And yet they're doing it. They're doing it. And he says, and if the people of the land truly hide their eyes from that man, as he gives a seed to Moloch so as not to put him to death, then Yahweh will hold that man guilty. You know, so today, the same thing. How much do we see that's wrong, that maybe we're not standing up against? We see the same in verse 6, with people going to mediums and spiritualists. And he says that person will be cut off from his people. The famous story, I won't go there, but 1 Samuel 28, we know it's Saul. When he went to the medium, and what happened, Yahweh was cut Saul off from being king, and Yahweh was not given any more messages to him, and then he goes to the medium, and a demon comes up, masquerading as the prophet Samuel, and Saul was looking for that, but cut off from Yahweh. And yet today, we see the same thing in society. People not only going to fortune tellers, but astrology, you know, looking at their future from the stars and reading daily horoscopes. And it's just a normal part of life that most people don't see as anything wrong with whatsoever. And verse 7 here, What do we see? We see, and you shall sanctify yourself, and you shall be holy, for I am Yahweh your Elohim. And we see that there is a personal responsibility with your calling. We're the opposite before this, when we're going into whether it's sacrifice to Moloch or mediums, to most religions, if not all religions, there was no personal responsibility. What it was that you were doing some kind of sacrifice, and the greater sacrifice you did, deity was going to bless you for that, because you're just giving an animal or whatever you're doing here. Where here we see with Yahweh, it's totally different. There's a personal responsibility on our part of keeping His Torah, on keeping His statutes. Verse 9, if any man who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death, he has cursed his father and his mother, his blood shall be on him. And this includes not just somebody getting mad at their parents, but it includes blasphemy. The word curse is used many times as blasphemy. And beside that, it is also used with magic, with maybe putting incantation, putting a spell or something on your parents, being against them. So again, a lot of these things dealing with witchcraft that comes in here. And a man who commits adultery with a man's wife, who commits adultery with the neighbor of with the wife of his neighbor, the adulterer and the adulteress dying shall die. And here it is, we're living in a world where people, Yeshua said, if you leave your spouse and marry another, it's adultery. And people do it every day like it's nothing. I'm going to talk about this in a little bit. With the degradation of the marriage covenant in the world today, and it's really bad. So I'll leave it at that. But clearly we see it's the death penalty. Adultery is the death penalty, and it will keep you out of Yahweh's kingdom. There's no doubt about it. So somebody who leaves their spouse and they marry another, and then they say, but I'm a nice person, I'll give extra money to the poor. It doesn't matter. It makes no difference whatsoever. There will be no fornicator, there will be no adulterer in the kingdom of Yahweh. And then he gets into unlawful marriages, including homosexuality. I won't go into too many of them. And then also about not lying with an animal in a sexual way, which that's another thing that is rising as homosexuality is becoming more and more normal. We're hearing more of also bestiology that's also becoming normal. And of course, you can't marry your sister. And it says in verse 17, if a man takes his sister, the daughter of his father or mother, and has seen her nakedness, it's not a matter of just seeing the person, but that word for nakedness literally in Hebrew is genitalia. So it's more of an act that's involved there than just seeing the person. It's a shame. A man, on verse 18, is not to come near a menstruating woman. We know that. Many other places, Leviticus 15, 19, Leviticus 18, 19 also talks about that. And then one that might be a little confusing, verse 21, if a man takes his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall be childless. Yet, if you go to Deuteronomy 25, 5, which I won't go there, but that's the Levirate vow, says that when a brother dies and they have no children, that the brother is supposed to take the wife. So it may sound like a contradiction, but not really, because here it's talking about a man taking his brother's wife in a general way. The Levirate vow is only there on two conditions. Number one is if the woman was childless, you know, so if your brother married a woman and your brother died and she was childless, then you would take the Levirate vow, and if you're single. If you were married, you would not take the woman if you were married. So again, that would only work in those two cases. This is talking about beside those two cases, just in general, if there were other reasoning for that. And then again, he talks about keeping his judgments, not the vile judgments of the lands where they are. And then if they do his judgments and statutes and not those of the lands, then Yahweh will allow them to possess the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, as we learned during Pesach what that means. It means it's a great land for grazing. You know, when you come from the desert and you're seeing even here in Israel what people think is a desert is not the desert here. The desert here is a lot of rocks and stones. It's not like Saudi Arabia or Iraqi desert. But the land with milk and honey means that there's a lot of grazing for your animals. And natural honey that comes in many ways. Sometimes, like with Samson, it could just be there from bees who actually make it on the ground. Other times it can be from dates. It can be from figs and different things like that. And then, of course, you should make a difference between clean animals and unclean, not to defile yourself. You are to be holy, for I am Yahweh. I am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations. So the same way, keeping clean foods, it doesn't make us more righteous or a better person, but it certainly keeps us sanctified. Yahweh does it because He wants us to be separate from the nations. So if we eat defiled food that He says is not to be eaten, then we're taking our sanctification away. So Yahweh does it to keep us separated. So whether it's in these different things He's talking about in Leviticus, that we're not to act like the world. We're not to act like the world. And how many believers are cohabitating, leaving their spouse and marrying another? You know, maybe even eating unclean foods. I don't know. Today I would believe almost anything when I see it. And I really believe they're... the gulf of believers in the world is getting wider and wider and wider. Yahweh says, you are to be holy, for I am holy, because He set us apart from the nation. And then again in verse 27, He once again talks about not going to mediums or fortune tellers, that Yahweh has to be our total trust for everything. So maybe we can turn off the video there for a little bit. Alrighty. The message today I want to give is called The Old Paths. The Old Paths. And there was a movie a little while back, I think it was made right around the turn of the century. I think most people know it, called The Time Changer, which is one of my favorite movies. I really like that because it shows you, you know, the frog and the beaker theory, that if you take a frog and you put him in warm water and just turn it up a little, the frog won't realize how hot the water is getting and it will die. But if you take boiling water and throw in a frog, he'll jump right out. And the time changer really shows that. It shows that over the last 100 years, from 1900 to 2000, how much things changed. It was unbelievable. And in the beginning of the movie, the one man that is making a real convicted speech about something, and he makes the statement, how bad things are getting. It's the year, you know, 1898, and the divorce rate has gone up to 5%. And they're all like, oh, you know. And here it is, 2,000, you know, 100 years later, it's up to 50, 60%, which really doesn't tell the story. Because now in the year 2014, not only is the divorce rate still hovering around 60%, but close to 60% don't marry. They just cohabitate together, and nobody sees anything wrong with this. So, you know, as I'm putting this together and I'm thinking about the time changer, I'm like, wow, that was 100 years from 1900 to 2000, and here we are only 10 years later, we need time changer too. You know, because how much things had changed in that time. And, you know, when you look at the perversion that the system of Babylon has brought to the world, I believe it's unequaled in history because of the methods now that they have to get the evil out, the prince of the power of the airwaves with internet and TV and radio. But, you know, 10 to 20 years ago, when you could look from the beginning of the last generation, from 1945, you could look and every generation has gotten worse. You know, the 50s were worse than the 40s, the 60s worse than the 50s, 70s worse than the 60s. But when you look at it, it's nothing like we have today. Because even just 10 or 15 years ago, you know, when you're looking at immorality and immodest dress, worldly TV and movies, it's nothing like we see today with open homosexuality. Just open, flaunting it. And even the leaders of countries and the news just putting how normal this lifestyle is. Cross-dressing. I mean, why on earth would anybody want to cross-dress? But they're always thrown in there that are, you know, even President Obama, our brothers and sisters, the cross-dressers. You know, why? I don't know. It's about as sick perversion as you can get. Why on earth a man would want to dress like a woman or a woman like a man? Body piercing. I mean, everywhere you look, body piercing. I'm not talking about just earrings, which any body piercing is against Yahweh. He says we should not pierce our body. But at least when you just see women with earrings, it was socially normal. I mean, today you see people with piercings all over their face and their nose and their eyeballs sometimes, their cheeks, so you name it. Even in their genitals. I mean, just piercings everywhere. Why on earth somebody would want to get piercings? Gets me. Tattoos. And not just men. My father says this, you know. He says it really bothers him when he sees these women with tattoos. And where it started out like everything else, you know, a little fad, or maybe a woman on the back of her leg where you couldn't see again, a little flower. Today you got tattoos everywhere. I mean, you see men sometimes with tattoos all up their arms, their faces, their body. Why on earth somebody would want to take ink and tattoo their bodies like that? It's just, it's got to tell you there's something in here. There's something with the mindset of the world today. And it's a perversion that I can't even begin to concept praise Yahweh. But Yahweh's telling us now, we got to look back to the old paths. We got to look back to the old past. You know, like I said, where you see, even in the Christian world, the messianics all over the place, people see nothing wrong with cohabitation. They see nothing wrong with premarital sex, fornication. And unfortunately, I've been shocked, even within the congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem, some of the things that I've seen just the last couple of years. I'm absolutely shocked. I'm shocked even sometimes that people that would even come for the Ambassador for Israel program, you know, like we say, too much is given, much is required. The more is given, the more is expected. And it's one thing when people don't know any better. But when someone's come under my headship and my teaching for months and understands what it means to be an ambassador for Yahweh, and then they go out afterwards, commit fornication, premarital sex, you know, unwanted pregnancies, I'm shocked. I'm shocked about it. We've been trying to make rules over the last couple of years to try to make things tighter. You know, sometimes I do feel alone. I hate to have to say it, but, you know, to my last breath, I'll stand up to it because I don't like the way I see things going in the world. And I certainly am saddened to see that in our congregation, I don't see people going more toward holiness. I don't see it. And it has to be because, you know, Hebrews 12, without holiness, you will not see Yahweh. And the problem is we're not going back to the old paths. That people don't see these things. They see nothing wrong with it. They see nothing wrong with watching R-rated movies. You know, with cursing, with violence, with sexual scenes. They see nothing wrong with it. And they watch them on a regular basis. And this stuff, not only is it evil to Yahweh, not only is it sin, it's perverting your mind like you can't imagine. And Yahweh tells us we have to get back to the old past. So let's start in Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. And if it only happened once, you'd say, hey, time and chance happens to everybody. Statistics happen to everybody. Of course, people repent, you forgive, and you move on. But I'm telling you, even within the congregation, and not just in America, let me tell you that. It's happening in Africa, it's happening in Asia, it's happening all over. So I'm not saying here it's just to the people in the U.S. It's all over the earth that we're seeing these things. And it's because the children are not being trained correctly, and people are not putting on a spirit of holiness. But it's got to start somewhere. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 15, Yahweh says, were they ashamed when they made an abomination? They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know to blush. So they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I will visit them, they shall be cast down, says Yahweh. So says Yahweh, stand by the way and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Something as simple as asking a woman when they come into our congregation to wear a skirt or a dress. I don't think it's asking much. And you know what? I'm the leader of the congregation. I could show you modesty. I could show you things. But at the end of the day, it's something that we are trying to get back to the old paths. And why does a woman have to fight us on that? Why do they have to fight us that they want to wear pants? Where did pants come from? It came from the rebellion of the 60s. Go back to the 1940s, the 1950s. You know? What were women wearing when they went to work? What were they wearing in the house? Like I said, my grandmother, she died at 93 years old, never wore a pair of pants in her life. If you gave it to her, she said, no. But they want to fight us. They want to fight us. And they say we will not walk in it. And I raise watchmen over you. You're hearing one today. Listen to the sound of the ram's horn. And they said we will not listen. So hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, that which is coming on them. Hear, O earth, and behold, I will bring evil on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, for they have not listened to my words and my Torah. They also rejected it. And I'm telling you something. If you're a person today who considers yourself a first fruit believer, and that you have the Spirit of Yahweh, and you don't shudder when you see what's going on in the world, then shame on you. I'm scared to death, and there's not a lot of things that fear me. I don't fear man, I don't fear death, I don't fear nothing, but I fear the world. I fear the world because I feel like I'm an alien. I feel like I don't fit in here. And I've always felt that to a small degree, you know? I think all of us do as we're called. But man, when the world is there today, I can't understand how brethren can make friendships with the world and it doesn't affect them whatsoever. And I think that's why so many people are falling away. And it certainly ain't because of me, you know, because I don't think I could be stronger in saying these things. But if your spirit is toward worldliness and you want the things out there that Satan has, by all means, there's the door. Because you're certainly not going to get him within Yahweh's confines. Yahweh's congregation is to put a hedge around your life to protect you. To protect you from out there, of the things we were talking about. Unwarranted relationships, premarital sex, unwanted pregnancies, and everything else that goes along with it. And that's why Yahweh has parameters in his words, and he's telling us to go back to the old paths. We need to get more conservative. We need to be looking at these things the way Yahweh does. Jeremiah 51, very scary scripture. Jeremiah 51 and verse 6. Flee from the midst of Babylon, yea, each man deliver his soul. Do not be silenced in her iniquity, for it is the time of the vengeance of Yahweh. He will give to her a recompense. He will repay her. Babylon was a golden cup in the hand of Yahweh, making all the earth drunk. He's talking about spiritual fornication here. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Just like a couple of months ago, that President Obama went to Africa. And I forget the small little nation he went to. But one of the tiny little Senegal, or one of those tiny little small African nations there. And he had the audacity to go in that little nation and start telling them that they start needing to accept homosexuality. And I praise Yahweh, that president of that tiny little country said, thank you, Mr. President, but please go home. We will never accept this abomination. And he looked foolish. He looked foolish. But this is what's coming from Babylon these days. And I feel bad. I feel bad because if you're a business owner there today, and you have a nice little flower shop, you know, on Main Street, woe is you. Because if you won't sell your flowers to this abomination of two men or two women claiming that they're going to marry, which is against the very definition of marriage, call them whatever you want to call them, but don't call it marriage. It's not marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Then they're going to find you. They're going to put you out of business. Maybe even put you in prison. And this is where it's coming. This is why it says, suddenly Babylon has fallen and it is broken. Wail for her. Take balm for her pain. If perhaps she could be healed, we would have healed Babylon. But she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go each to his own country. For her judgment reaches to the heavens and is lifted up to the skies. And like I say, that system that they started going back X amount of years ago, it's come to the world now. So it's not only America. I see this all over the world now. The perversion that's there. But Babylon can't be healed. It can't be healed. And the system is only getting worse. And we need to be coming out of that system. Not becoming friends with it. Isaiah 1 and verse 2. Isaiah 1 and verse 2. He says, hear heavens and listen, O earth, for Yahweh has spoken. I have enlarged and brought up sons, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, the donkey his master's manger. But Israel does not know. My people have not understood. Woe, sinful nation, a people heavy with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, sons who corrupt. They are forsaking Yahweh. They have scorned the Holy One of Israel. They are estranged backward. Why will you be beaten anymore? Will you continue the revolt? The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, no soundness is in it. Only a wound and a stripe and a fresh blow. They have not been closed, nor bound up, nor softened with oil. Your land is a desolation, your cities burned with fire. Foreigners devour your land before you, and behold, ruin is overthrown by foreigners. And the daughter of Zion is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a hut in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. Except Yahweh of hosts had left a remnant for us, a few. We would have been as Sodom, we would have been as Gomorrah. And it's coming. It's coming here to Israel. You know, it's not just Babylon. You see it. Two-thirds of the people here will die, and the last third will go through the purification. Why? Because look around. You know, in a lot of ways, Israel has adopted the same system in Babylon. You see open homosexuality. Even in Israel today, they're allowing two men to adopt a child. Abomination. Wow. Can you imagine? Eilat has become the homosexual capital of the world. Of the world. People are not keeping the Torah. You can go on Yom Kippur and go around the country, go in the kibbutzes, and you'll see them doing barbecues. The Torah has failed as far as they're concerned. And Yahweh is saying, it might have failed to you, but it didn't fail to me. There's judgment coming. There's judgment coming on Israel. There's judgment coming on Babylon. And there's judgment coming on the world because of the sin that is rampant everywhere. The perversion and the sin that is absolutely everywhere. So where do we start with this new normal? The new normal. Illegal drugs. Very soon, they'll make marijuana completely legal in America. It's already legal in a couple of states, but they want to make it legal in every state. And like I say, compromise comes little by little until you don't see you're doing it, and over time you'll completely fall away. You start compromising little by little, and then you don't even see it, and you completely fall away, and like they keep calling the new normal, the new normal. So let's start where we should be starting, with our children. And that's the main reason why, even with the marriage covenant, I say I'm not here to judge people that came from bad lives. We all came from somewhere. Some people are divorced. Some people had multiple marriages. Hey, things happened to everybody before conversion. But what I do say is, when you look at the children in the congregation and you look at the little ones, we have to start from somewhere. And we need to start with them that they understand the marriage covenant from Genesis 1. That marriage is a complete union between a man and a woman, two people, till death do you part. That's the way Yahweh made it. That's His intention in the marriage covenant. So where we fail, that doesn't make a difference. What matters is all of us collectively need to be teaching this to our children. We have to start somewhere. And the generation there is the generation that's going to go into the kingdom. So Yahweh may have allowed us to go through trials and different things with the marriage covenant so we can help other people. Because who is the greatest person who can teach somebody why you need to have one man and one woman till death do us part? Maybe somebody who failed through that and can show the consequences of it. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Proverbs 22. In verse 6, train up a child on the opening of the way, even when he is old, he will not turn aside from it. Train up a child on the opening of the way, even when he is old, he will not turn aside to it. And many people have misunderstood the scripture in the King James to say, train up a child in the way he will go, and when he gets older, he will come back to it. But that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is, if you train your children from when they're born, if you chain them from birth and you instill the neural associations in them from birth and you hold on to that and you're diligent, then when your children get older, they will not fall away from the truth. They will hold on to it. It's going to be what is inherently in them. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. And you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall diligently teach them to your sons. And you shall speak of them as you sit in the house, and as you walk in the way, and as you're lying down, and as you're rising up. And you shall bind them for a sign on your hand, and they shall be for frontlets of your eyes. So this is the thing. It's not just a 10-minute devotion every day, or, oh, we read our chapter of the Bible. No, with our children, from the time they're waking up to when you're walking on the roadside on your way to your field, to the time when, you know, mama is cooking in the kitchen with the girls, to the time you're putting your children down to bed. That's the responsibility of the parents. It's the responsibility of the parents. And it is a fact, 80% or more of second generation believers fall away. Wow, 80%. And you know what? When I look in the Bible, already I'm a little suspect of child rearing from the beginning. I mean, here it is, Adam and Eve, right? Got two people. They have Cain and Abel. Something goes wrong. You know, here it is, Cain beating his brother to death. Very first ones. Where did this come from? You know, how on earth did this come out? Something's going wrong here. Something wasn't taught. Even before Adam was cast out of the garden, he had to learn something from Yahweh. And yet the very first twins, Cain and Abel, is killing his brother. We see the story of Joseph in the Bible, flesh and blood, you know, one of the 12 sons of Israel. And how on earth can his brothers, first of all, they're going to kill him. I mean, kill him. And if it wasn't for Reuben and Judah stopping to kill him, and then what's going to happen? They want to sell him. How does that happen? How on earth can that happen to a brother, to flesh and blood? So there's a problem here. And then as I look through the Bible, I don't really see the son of Moses doing too much, even in the New Testament. You know, where's Peter's son? Where's Paul's son? You know, where's Andrew's son? I don't see a lot. So child rearing, to me, it's, as you go from Genesis to Revelation, it's a problem. It's a real problem. And I think the problem is because of human nature. Because people don't want to sacrifice. And when I say you don't want to sacrifice, don't have children. A matter of fact, not only don't have children, don't get married. Because if I had to say marriage equals one word, it's sacrifice. And I always say that, you know, that you get older. You know, I was blessed by Yahweh at 18 years old to buy a house. But I say you may buy a house, but until you get married, your wife makes it a home. And until you have children, that makes it a family. And that's really what it is. Because until you get married, you don't realize. You don't realize your selfish tendencies. You don't realize what you're thinking. Oh, I'm this guy that has all these great things, and any woman that would marry me would be blessed. Until you get married, you realize, oh, I got all these things to overcome. And that's what marriage does. It's a mirror for you to look at these things. But when child rearing comes apart, make no mistake, maybe in Satan society out here today, he makes it real easy. You know, not only easy, in a lot of places, he makes it illegal to raise your children. There's many places on the earth, the government will make it illegal. Well, I'll tell you one thing, you know, and I'm not one to bear arms against the government, you know, not against that at all. But while you try to take my child away from me, you're going to have a fight on your hands. Because it's not going to come easy. And of course, in the end, I have to trust in Yahweh for whatever's going to happen. But I would never willingly put my child in the hands of a government that denies the very existence of the one that I worship. And in America, that's what it is. Darwinism is part of the curriculum. It's the belief system that there's a creation without a creator. And it's only getting worse. Taking prayer out of the school. Now you can't even bow your head for 30 seconds without getting expelled. If you're a teacher, you can't mention nothing about the Bible. Nothing whatsoever. You'll lose your job. And this is supposed to be in the land of religious freedom. And it's on purpose because Satan's world is out there. And I'm telling you, we have turned a corner. We have turned a corner and it is sinister out there. It's sinister. And how on earth can people love it? How can they be part of it? And certainly you don't want to throw your children into it. It's the responsibility of us parents to raise our children, not the state. Because I'll tell you one thing, they talk about this in America. Maybe, I don't know, I haven't studied every government in the world. But I can certainly say that anything the American government has touched has turned to garbage. You know, if you want to go out of business, if you want to go in the red, if you want to destroy anything, let the government take it over. And now we're seeing it with healthcare, which is 1/6 of the American economy, you know, where that will lead to. But the government, people that their whole life have only lived off other people's tax money, I don't trust that much. I don't trust people that never worked a real job, that make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year by lying to people and stealing off people. And that's most of the politicians. Not all of them. You have a few good ones out there. And that's why I say, praise Yahweh, that over here in Israel, He's put into my hand a couple of people that I've met in the government who I believe are trying to make a difference. And I will help those people. Because Yahweh's put them in a position where they can hold the line. And I'm telling you, we are at a dangerous point here in history. And people forget only after a couple of years. And, you know, we've had now the conservative government here in Israel since about 2001, starting with Ariel Sharon. Kind of went to the wrong side for a bit, but that's another story. But since Barack Obama, Ehud Barak. They say as lightning will come from the east to the west. And first you had Ehud Barak in the east, and now you have Barack Obama in the west. So maybe that's a prophecy being fulfilled. But since Ehud Barak left in 2000, remember, they came dangerously close to making that peace deal and dividing this land. First you had Sharon, and Olmert was no picnic. We'll forget about him. But now Netanyahu's in there, and he has at least somewhat of a conservative government that's trying to hold the line. But once they go, and once you go back to the left, forget about it. I give this country no more than a year, not only dividing the land and giving it to the Palestinians, that Yahweh's judgment will come. We can see it. We can see how, even with the right wing in there, morally, this country has went to the pits the last 10 years, talking about Israel. You know, same with America. Same thing that's going on. So we need to protect our children. Isaiah, the third chapter. Isaiah 3 and verse 4. Isaiah 3 and verse 4 says, and this is an end time prophecy, Isaiah 3, and I will give young boys to be their rulers, and a tyrant shall rule over them. And the people shall be crushed, man against man, and a man on his neighbor. The boy will be insolent against the elder, and the despised against the honorable. Drop down to verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over him. Oh, my people, those leading you cause you to go astray, and they swallow the way of your paths. Yahweh stands up to please his cause and stands up to judge the people. Wow. So we see in the end time, it's the prophecy that children are going to be rebellious. We know it from 2 Timothy 3 about children. Disobedience to parents, prideful, seeking after money. And I'll tell you something, life goes by so quick. Life goes by so quick. And when it comes to your children, you know, we know this from science. They give the statistic that something like 70% or more, 75% of everything a child's personality is going to be made is in the first 5 or 6 years of their life. And that's why I say the first 5 to 10 years maximum, that's your child's molded. I see it in many families we've known throughout the years that have come to faith, and they had multiple children. And when they came to faith, they may have had older children that were already teens, 16, 17, some of them even adults. And most of the time, not always, but most of the time, the older ones kind of drifted away. And the younger ones were strong because they can train them from childhood. Those first 5 to 10 years, not only is it a responsibility as a parent for us to train our child, because remember, they belong to Yahweh, not us. You know, we're just basically caretakers of our children. They're Yahweh's children. And it's the greatest responsibility you have in the world, you know. Even the responsibility being here over the headquarter congregation in Jerusalem, which I think is a wonderful, awesome responsibility in my life, but it still doesn't supersede the responsibility as a father. Because that's something that's personally given to me, where the work from Israel is collectively for everybody. So we have to look at this, that 5 to 10 years goes so quick. And not only is it our responsibility, it's our blessing. It's our blessing. And I remember a very good friend of ours told us not too long ago, and this lady has 2 teenage girls right now, and she was with us, and she said something like, when she saw how Mariah was doing, you know, cherish every moment you have. And I could see she was thinking of her girls that are now maybe like 17 and 14, something like that, because it does go so quick. And that every moment, you know, that your child still wants you to feed them, or they still want you to tie the shoe, even if they can do it, embrace every last moment, because like I said, it goes so quick. And for me now, I never had an adult child. But when I look at adult children that are estranged from their parents, when I see parents that don't even talk to children or children want nothing to do with parents, I know it could be me. I don't know. Who knows what could happen if time went on. But when they're little, you can't ever imagine that when they're dependent on you. You know, and it is, like I said, it is our honor. It is our responsibility, but great honor that Yahweh gives us this opportunity to bring those little ones who will be the first ones in the kingdom, the first generation. I don't know how old they'll be, because we don't know. Will the kingdom come in 3 to 5 years? Will it come in 5 to 10 years? You know, will it be a little more than that? But it won't be that long. So our children, definitely now our young ones, will be that first generation. And remember, they're going to be human beings. So they'll be the first mayors. They'll be the first governors. They're going to be the ones running this kingdom from an earthly standpoint. What great responsibility we have to train them correctly. And Yahweh gives it to us. So when we're looking at the old paths, it's got to start there. It's really got to start there. Some of the greatest examples in my life as a child, remember with my uncles and with my grandma teaching me those old paths. And I remember when I was first doing ministry counseling, or whatever you would call it, I would go out with one of the ordained elders, and we would go to widows. I was just a young man in my early 20s, and I loved it. I loved going to widows and listening to them tell these stories. Some of these people lived in the 1800s, and just hearing their stories of life was so unbelievable to me. If it was a woman and her husband died, boy, it was as if he never died. All the things on the shelf and telling the stories of when they were together and just beautiful, beautiful memories I have from that. And a lot of it molded into the person that I am. So we have this great opportunity that we can't give up. And it's one of our greatest blessings. Next, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 6 because we were talking before about the marriage covenant. And there's no, next to raising our children, there's no greater responsibility we have to the old paths than the marriage covenant. And this is somewhere where Satan has really made inroads in the world and unfortunately with Yahweh's people. And remember, there's always new people coming in. And where do they come from? They're not dropping from the sky, you know, from Mars. We're not picking them as plants in our backyard. No, every new person that comes in the congregation, they're coming from the world. And what they're bringing with them is the false concepts that they're getting from Satan's society. So I want to go over some things today. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. He says, "Or do you not know that the unjust ones will not inherit the kingdom of Elohim? Do not be led astray, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the corrupt, nor homosexuals." I'll drop down to verse 15. "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Messiah? Then taking the members of Messiah, shall I make them members of a harlot? Let it not be. Or do you not know that he being joined to a harlot is one body? For he says, the two shall be one flesh." And this is also spiritual. People going to false churches, false ministries. Because most of the time in the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, where Yahweh's talking about harlotry, he's talking about spiritual harlotry. But over here, I could say safely he's talking about both. "Or do you not know that he being joined to a harlot is one body? For he says the two shall be one flesh. But the one being joined to our master is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin which a man may do is outside the body. But he's doing fornication, sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit in you, which you have from Elohim? And you are not of yourself. You were bought with a price. Then glorify Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which belong to Elohim." And I don't know how this is happened. I know how it's happened in society. I can't tell you how it's happened even within the congregation. But again, they say if you say a lie over and over again, you're going to start believing it. And there's something where today, it's in Christianity, and like I said, everything seems to seep over to a point, that somehow people think fornication isn't so bad anymore. One of the reasons is that 56% of people now don't marry. They cohabitate. 56%. So think about it. Your divorce rate is close to 60%, but then you have close to 60% to begin with that aren't even married. They're just cohabitating. So how many of those people, after whatever, they just decide to leave, that are not even going into the statistic? So in the world, this is happening. I just talked to a person who was a pastor in Jerusalem just last week, and him and his wife were telling me they can't believe it. How many believers in the Messianic congregation here that are either cohabitating or living in fornication? And like I said, it's not just a Babylon problem. It's a problem we have all over the world. It's a problem that I'm seeing in the congregations in the Philippines. I'm seeing it happening in Africa. I'm seeing it happening. I'm wondering what on earth is going on here. How on earth can this be happening? How on earth? Where are the parents? Where are the fathers? Shame on the fathers. How on earth can we be allowed our young to be falling into this? And you know something? People might want to say, Don's old-fashioned. He's too protective. You better believe it. And you better believe I'm only going to get worse. Praise Yahweh for that, I hope you're saying. But I am going to get worse. Because we do not allow, there is no such thing as dating in the Bible. No such thing as dating. And this is the problem that these worldly youth, and I've said it before, but you better believe action's going to start being taken. Don't bring your worldly youth to Israel. I don't want them here. Our brethren don't want them here. You got worldly youth? If you're a parent, get them in order, and then you bring them here. Because we're not going to put up with this. We're not going to put up with teenage boys that are making gestures toward girls. You know? Not going to happen over here. Not going to happen. Because there is no dating in the Bible. There is courting in the Bible. There's courting in the Bible. I want to give you some statistics from Focus in the Family that should be shocking to us. And it says, surveys consistently indicate that professing Christians behave almost exactly like non-Christians in terms of sexual involvement outside of marriage. In both percentage of people involved and how deeply they are involved in, how far they're going, they live together before marriage, and infidelity and divorce in marriage, which is close to 60%. And they say, with Christian world, sometimes even higher. Only about 2 to 5% of people in the USA are virgins when they get married. Now, if you look in your Bible in Deuteronomy 22, fornication is a punishable by death, punishable by stoning in the Bible. If it's two single people, they would have to get married, but it is a serious thing. It is a serious thing, fornication. And like I said, people get to the point, well, if you're just cohabitating without being married, you know what they're doing to the marriage covenant? They're crumbling it, they're stamping on it, and they're throwing it out. The thing that starts in Genesis 1, the most next to our covenant with Yahweh and Yeshua, the most important covenant in the world, that Yahweh, not even in the congregation, it is the only covenant ever in the world that started 6,000 years ago, continues today, even in pagan society. There's still something called marriage. Why is that? People don't know, but Yahweh knows. Because he knows most people have to come from the world. And if he didn't even keep an semblance of the marriage covenant in the world, what would happen when those people come to us? But I'm telling you, Satan is ripping it apart now in these last days. He's ripping it apart by homosexual marriage, which is an abomination to Yahweh, and it isn't. There's no such thing. Marriage is a union between a man and a woman. He's ripping it apart by cohabitation of young people just living together. He's ripping it apart by divorce and remarriage and every other way. And now we're seeing, as we're trying to hold this most sacred covenant together, it's becoming more and more difficult. But these are scary statistics. In fact, statistics show the divorce rate for professing Christians may actually be higher than for Americans as a whole. Divorce and remarriage and even cohabitation are widely accepted in Christianity today. Some, we've even had this in Nicaragua. One of the men there, one of the first men that started a congregation with us, he was allowing his son to live in the house, in his house, with the girlfriend. Yeah? Doesn't matter. He who puts father, mother, sister, brother, child before me is not worthy of me. You can't have a child who's living with somebody who's not his spouse in your house. And no true believer should be allowing any of their children, no matter how age, to date. What is dating going to lead to? Dating is only going to lead to wrong thoughts, fornication. It's not going to lead to anything good. The Bible talks about courting. So I want to give 3 points to courtship here. First, Courtship has to begin with a man approaching and going through the woman's father or family. That is the first thing to courtship. If we read Numbers, the 30th chapter, in verse 3, when a woman vows a vow to Yahweh and is bound a bond in the house of the father of her youth, and her father has heard her vow and her bond in which she has bound her soul, and her father has remained silent to her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond with which she has bound her soul shall stand. But if her father has prohibited her, and the day he heard none of her vows and her bond with which she has bound her soul shall stand, and Yahweh will forgive her because her father prohibited it. So, again, it's not about dating. It's about a man preparing himself from the time of his bar mitzvah, from the time he's 13, 14. He should be starting to prepare himself spiritually by growing in the faith, physically learning a trade, maturity, getting mature, involved in caring for a family. And then when a man gets to that age where he can take care of a family that way, and he finds a woman, what does he do? He doesn't go to the woman. He goes to the father of the family and he asks for permission. And marriage is always the direct goal. Dating isn't it. You know how many times, and things must have changed since I was younger. Because when I was younger, if somebody said, I'm engaged, that means you're getting married, right? That's what I thought. Engagement, marriage. Today, you don't know how many times over the last couple of years, up in Babylon, some with family, some with friends, not in the congregation. But I talk to someone, they say, hey, I got engaged. I'll say, congratulations, when are you getting married? Oh, no, we're not getting married. Then what are you doing? What does the engagement mean? It means that you made up a name now where you can fornicate with this person and not feel guilty about it? Is that what you're doing? No way. I had somebody very, very close to me, not in the congregation, outside the congregation, who was living with their fiance, and they were going to a Christian church. And they said to me, oh, they were real offended because somebody in the church said to the pastor, you know, they shouldn't be here, that they're doing this. And I said, you want to know something? You're right. I wouldn't allow you in my church if you're doing that. You love the girl and you can, you marry her. If not, you separate. That's what the Bible tells us. Because dating will only lead to fornication. And it should always be supervised by the families of the engaged couple, even when you're engaged. Which means you're going to get married. You make a date. You set a timetable. It could be anywhere from a few months up to a year. Shouldn't be longer than that. And if it's longer than that, then you shouldn't make an engagement. But it should be supervised. The two people should never be alone together. Except for possibly maybe hand-holding at times. There should be no physical touching whatsoever. Absolutely no kissing that's involved before marriage. And in ancient times, a young virgin was not even supposed to be alone in the presence of a man without proper chaperoning. In Italy today, with my relatives, this is the way it is. Many traditional families still practice this, where the couple will be sitting to talk to each other, and the aunts will be about 10 yards away, overseeing and guiding the couple in modesty and proper courting. So they're allowed to take a walk. You know, they're engaged, right? They're getting married. They need to make a life together. So give them about 10 yards. But you better believe those 10, 15, 20 aunts are walking right behind them. And I'll tell you something. You want a wrath. You don't want a wrath of an Italian auntie. They're pretty tough people. And you better believe they protect their family. 1 Timothy 5:2 says, and the older women treat as mothers, and the younger as sisters in all purity. So when you're a single man in the congregation, and I was a single believer for many years, probably 15 years close to before I got married. And what I looked at when there was a single girl in the congregation, it was just a sister. You never think of anything more than that. So you may, a date would be, hey, would you like to sit with me in church? That's what they considered as a date, because you're with all the people, you're under the auspices, or maybe if it was something where you have a church activity, we'd have when we were part of the speaking club, they had something called Ladies Night, where if you were married, you bring your wife. If you weren't married, you can bring a young lady in the congregation. Of course, you wouldn't take her there alone. You would come with another couple, or you'd have a married couple pick you up. because you should never be alone if you're a single man with a single woman under those circumstances, but it would just be for friendship. That's all it is. Because it says here, you treat yourself, the younger ones, as sisters in all purity. And that's the way the Bible's meant to be. It's meant to be that all of us are brothers and sisters for eternity. So there's not an open field, even if somebody is single. And if you are a single man and you do get yourself ready for that time when you're ready to make a commitment to a woman, then you do what the Bible says. You go to that woman's father or whoever her legal guardian would be if her father is dead. You ask for permission. Usually, as we see with Rebecca, of course, the woman has a say in it. It's not like they're selling their daughter off. You know, they asked Rebecca, do you want to go with them? So, of course, the woman would have a say in it. But it would all be properly done under judicial order, where there would be overseeing. And like I said, with relationships between single men and women in Yahweh's congregation should always simply be towards friendship as brother and sister and never anything else. Worldly dating with selfish motives of entertainment, sexual pervasiveness, or simply playing the field for fun only leads to self-centered motivations, fornication, and emotional trauma for all involved. You have no idea how many people, and good people, in our congregation worldwide, that because when they were younger they didn't understand about this, they made mistakes. Some divorced, some with children out of wedlock, some with children in a second marriage, some in a third marriage. And you don't know how many have told me, I wish I knew this back when I was 18 or 20 years old. I wish I understood this because this is the way that's going to lead to strong families. And believe me when I say, I'm not saying I have every answer in the world. I said, in Africa, they asked me some questions that, wow, I wonder if Yahweh even knows the answer. 4 and 5 spouses, and this one, this, and the third wife, and the second wife, and who left him, and who did this, and who did this, and it's like a jigsaw puzzle. But what I always say is, even if something is made a judgment that you don't believe in, don't blame the elder who's making the judgment, who's trying to do his best. You know, blame yourself for getting yourself in that situation. You know, am I supposed to be the one that knows if somebody married 4 wives and the wives married other men and he married other men? Don't blame me. If I can't untangle your web, I'll do my best. You know, I pray to Yahweh. I try to make a righteous judgment. But in the end of the day, if you don't like the judgment, blame yourself. Blame whoever else was involved in causing the nightmare. That's why I say it's not to bring judgment on anybody. But what it's to show is, if we can only teach our children this, if we can teach our children that Yahweh made marriage the most beautiful relationship in the world for one man and one woman, that's it. One man and one woman, a total union, to raise your children in this, to understand His love for us. Because ultimately, what is the point? What is the mystery of the marriage covenant? That we will be married to Messiah. That we will have that. So whatever our feelings are supposed to be, that a man can actually take the role of Messiah towards his wife, and the wife can take the role of the congregation that will be the wife of Messiah. And we can play these roles to show him that we understand it. And we know what it will be like when he returns. But believe me when I say it, it grieves me to see in this world today how they've degraded it. You know, and spring break and all these other evils that are going on out there. It is nothing but Sodom and Gomorrah plus some. And like somebody told me one time, if Yahweh doesn't judge Babylon, then boy does he owe an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I say it's not only Babylon now. This thing has gone viral. It's gone worldwide. A male should be preparing himself to be a biblical husband and father and should not even think about courtship until he is physically, emotionally, and financially able to provide for a family. Likewise, a woman should not only be self-consumed with a career, but she should be growing in maturity and faith and preparing in submission to become a wife and a mother in a Proverbs 31 woman. And this is why the divorce rate is 60%. Because women are grabbing their own career, men are worried about their career, and where's the family? Where's the family? And then they get in a physical relationship before they know what's going on. Many of them marry and never even talk about what their aspirations are. And then all of a sudden, 6 months after marriage, oh, you wanted kids? I didn't want kids. You want to live here? I want to live here. They never even talked about these things. And what do you think is going to happen? And they look toward their leadership, toward evil, wicked, sinister things like Hollywood. Show me one happy couple in Hollywood. You know, when you hear these people like Liz Taylor, great actress, married 13 times or 12 times, I don't want to be in that shoes. I don't want to be like Hollywood. I don't want anything to do with Hollywood because it's an evil perversion of what Yahweh has given. And it certainly ain't working. It's not working for them because most of those people are bitterly unhappy. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4 in verse 3. I'll start verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 2. For you know what commands we gave you through the Master Yeshua. For this is the will of Yahweh, your sanctification. Don't you understand? This sanctifies us. This sets us apart from the world. And like I say, you take away this beautiful, this sanctified marriage covenant that Yahweh created for His congregation. We're left with nothing. And people on the peripheral edge have been trying to do this. But no more. No more. And shame on the parents and the congregation if they're not taking care of this. If you're allowing your children, you know, especially girls, should never be alone. Never be alone with boys. Ever. There should never be a situation. Everything has got to be done in groups. It's got to be done for wholesome purity. Doing things together for purity as a family. It should never be any other motives. For this is the will of Yahweh, your sanctification, for you to abstain from fornication. Each one of you to know to possess his vessel in sanctification, in honor, not in passion of lust, even as also the nations do, not knowing Yahweh. Not to go beyond and to overreach his brother in the matter, because the avenger concerning all these is Yahweh, even as we told you before and solemnly testify. For Yahweh did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, the one who does an injustice is not wrong man, but Yahweh, even he giving his Holy Spirit to us. I'll say another thing without going into detail. Even within the marriage covenant, there are perversions that I hear about that shock me. You know? Yahweh made a man and a woman to be in a marriage covenant for love, for bearing children, to become one, not for perverted sexual acts. And even within marriage, the stuff I'm hearing is shocking me. And where's it coming from? It's certainly not coming from Yahweh. It's not coming from His congregation. It's coming from the world. It's coming from the internet. It's coming from pornography. And people are bringing that in. And I'm telling you, the door is being closed. Because I don't want to see this stuff. I don't want it to my family. I don't want it to the brethren. And I don't want it to myself. And I'm telling you, the perverted mindset, that's the problem. It's not an act. It's a mindset that I'm hearing from people. People justifying these perverted acts that some way Yahweh permits this or allows it is unbelievable. Fornication, adultery, and like I said, He created the marriage bed undefiled in holiness. If you take that holiness and you bring perversion into your bedroom, even if you're married, you are defiling the marriage covenant. You are defiling something that is sacred in Yahweh's eyes. Something that is supposed to join you to another human being. And just like when you're melting metal together to make you one with that person, that nothing is supposed to separate. And Satan is the one getting the biggest laugh when this happens. And we really need to look at it. We need to look at putting our mind on holiness. Because if we had the mind on holiness, all the other things would fall by the wayside. The problem is, a lot of people, when you're coming from such a perverted society, they don't understand what holiness is. They don't understand. But we are living in the era of Freud, you know, Sigmund Freud and Darwinism and all of this stuff, like the Apostle Paul said, of selfish desires, of people just being bent on sexual things. It is a wicked, wicked world. And that's why when Yeshua said, it'll be like the days of Noah, where violence filled the earth. We don't have to look far to see that. But also the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, where every sexual perversion was being magnified. It's got to change. We have to change this. In the Messianic movement, I hate to say it, there is no holiness, no sanctification, open fornication, divorce and remarriage, the leaders. A leader in the Messianic movement, he'll openly have an adulterous relationship with a secretary, dump his wife, and then everybody says we need to love him. Where do you get that from? Where do you get that from? I'll love him. I'll accept him back in if he repents, but you gotta be kidding. That the person then leaves the wife and stays with the secretary, and you're gonna say this is okay? I don't know. I don't know where they're getting it from, but I'm telling you, there is a standard, the new normal, that Obama's new normal, and Babylon's new normal, and the new normal of the world, it's not my new normal, and it's not Yahweh's new normal. And we have to turn back from this kind of stuff. And the reason why the leaders will not talk against divorce, remarriage, fornication, adultery, is because they're the leaders in it. Many of them are the leaders in it. Modesty. Revelation 1 and verse 13. And having turned, I saw seven golden menorahs in the midst of the seven menorahs, one like the Son of Man, wearing a garment down to his feet and having his breast girded with a golden girdle. It's real simple. You know, when you look at Yahweh's modesty, Yeshua comes back, he has a garment down to his feet. We see in the Old Testament that the priest was not to make the altar of burnt sacrifice with steps, but with a ramp, that he not show his nakedness. That if his ankle was showing, it's called nakedness to Yahweh. That we don't ask for much. We're not asking when people walk in the door. I don't have a little ruler that I'm measuring people's skirt lines. You know, we leave it up to the honor system. But I'll tell you something. You get tired of having to keep telling these young girls, button up, button up, button up. And it's a shame on the parents. But the worst shame is that the parents don't see it as a shame. And some of them even get offended. They get offended. Can you imagine? You know, what girl, woman, it doesn't make a difference, in the congregation that loves the brethren, you know, loves their parents or loves their husband or anything else, why would they want to come dressing provocative? What on earth would be the point of that? Is that showing love to your neighbor? Is it showing love to maybe our single men that don't have a spouse, that they want to put these wrong thoughts in their head? Why? Why would any sister in the congregation want to dress like that? What purpose would it make? And the Bible is very, very clear each time. Modesty, modesty, modesty. 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. He says, therefore I desire the men to pray in every place, lifting up holy hands, without anger and doubting thoughts. So also the women to adorn themselves in proper clothing, with modesty and sensibleness, not with plating or gold or pearls or expensive garments, but what becomes women professing fear of Elohim through good works. Very, very simple. You know, I enjoy watching things like Little House on the Prairie and these shows from the late 1800s, because no matter who the people were, you see and beautiful, beautiful dresses and skirts and shirts that they had, and the ruffles on it. It's really nice. It doesn't mean when you're modest you have to look like a pauper, look really bad. No, but it's so beautiful because they're dressed like Yahweh would want them to be. The women are very, very modest, and it just looks so nice. It's so nice. And that's Yahweh's beautifulness. It's Yahweh's beautifulness because it makes a woman what a woman was meant to be, not as some kind of perverted sexual symbol for people to gawk at. She was made as the purpose of, you know, the glory of man. The glory of man. You know, when you see a woman who's an Elohim-guided woman, that's just the way Yahweh made it to be. Isaiah 3. Talked about this before. I'm not going to get too much into this aspect. Isaiah 3 and verse 16. And Yahweh says, because the daughters of Zion are proud and walk with stretched out necks and painted eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tingling with their feet. So Yahweh will make the crown of the daughter of Zion scabby, and Yahweh will lay their secret parts bare. I've said this before. You go before 1850, any woman who painted their eyes, painted their lips, was a prostitute. In the Bible, wherever you see this, it's prostitution. You know, I won't get into the reasons. You can look it up for yourself on the internet, on why they did it, why they painted their lips. But painting the lips is something that came from prostitution. It was to allure men. The same with the painting of the eyes. And over here, we see it. The daughters of Zion, go out there, look at Israel. Yeah, they do it. They do it. And it's evil in Yahweh's eyes. And look what he says will happen. He'll make their secret parts bare. In that day, Yahweh will take away the beauty of the ankle bracelets and the headbands and the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets and the veils, the turbans, the leg ornaments, the sashes, and the houses of the soul and the amulets, the rings and the nose jewels, the festive apparel and the outer garments and the mantles and the purses, the mirrors and the fine linen and the turbans and the veils. And it will be instead of a smell of perfume, there will be an odor of decay. And instead of a sash, a rope. And instead of well-set hair, boldness, maybe even a nuclear bomb that's coming. And instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth, a scar instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty men in war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she shall sit bare on the ground. Wow, horrible, horrible prophecy. But why? They're bringing it on themselves. Because Yahweh says over and over and over, and to the world, like I said, they're in Satan's society. We notice it. We're living here 15 years in Israel, even in the Orthodox community. We notice every couple of years, and it's been confirmed to us by rabbis, the skirt line comes a tiny bit up. Now, it's still pretty low. It's well below the knee for most of the Orthodox. But it's still now, after 15 years, it's a few inches higher than what it was. And where will it be in another 10 years if it keeps going this way? The old paths. Yahweh wants us to go for the old paths. He doesn't want us to be in the progressive movement. He wants us to go back to his paths that never change. And modesty is a big, big part of it. 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3 and verse 1. It says, likewise, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if any disobey the word through the behavior of the wives, without a word they will be won, observing your pure behavior in fear. And that's why I said holiness. If we could just get the holiness down, the rest is easy. And adorn not yourself with the external ornaments of curls of the hair or the wearing of golden trinkets or costly garments, but the hidden person of the heart in the incorruptible adornment of the meek and quiet spirit, which is a great value before Elohim. So once indeed the holy women who were hoping on Elohim adorned themselves, submitting themselves to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him master, whose children you became, doing good and not being confused by false values. And that's the problem. As Satan keeps moving the bar, and we keep being told the new norm, they're false values. They're absolutely false values. And I never thought, I mean, I read it in the Bible, but I never thought I'd live the day where everybody, every media, every news thing, the president of the United States, everybody's trying to convince you that two men living together as homosexuals is a better union than a man and a woman. But they keep doing it. This is their false values that they're trying to push. And it's absolutely absurd. The same way with abortion. They could say what they want about it, but it leaves an emotional scar and trauma on a woman's life for as long as she'll live. And praise Yahweh that when you come into the congregation and you repent, it's forgiven like any other sin, and the hope that that child will live again in the resurrection. But it still doesn't totally heal it. Not completely, and it shouldn't, like any other thing that we do that has a consequence to it. But this is one of the false values they're trying to bring. How many millions upon millions of young, unsuspecting 13, 14, 15 years old are they pushing this on, that it's your right? It's your right to kill and abort a baby. Not taking into any of the account when that woman gets into her 20s and she's married and what effect that's going to have on her life. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for Satan's false values that he's trying to put out there. Because they're certainly not Yahweh's values. They're not Yahweh's values. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, going back to the old paths. Do you not know that you are a sanctuary of Yahweh and the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you? And whoever defiles the sanctuary of Yahweh, Yahweh will destroy, for the sanctuary of Yahweh is holy, which you are. So here it is, we talked about in a purity way within the marriage covenant, But just briefly, I want to mention, because again, the old paths. And unfortunately, the old paths did not have a lot of plastic. I read one time and they were trying to say if something causes cancer, and they said if it's wrapped in plastic, don't eat it. And I'm not that old, 50 years old this year, but I remember as a young boy that our milk used to come in bottles. And we had a milkman, he used to deliver it in our little box that we had, and then we'd be done, we'd put them out, and then he'd bring new ones. And as a boy, everything we had, all our plates were ceramic, you know, or glass, and there was nothing made of plastic, absolutely nothing. And people say, you know, we joke in archaeology, you know, you had the Iron Age and Iron Age 2, and they say, we're in the plastic age. But it really is. We might joke now, but that's what they'll call us, because it never was before. And when they find plastic, that's how they'll know to date it, because it started at this time period. But when you think about it, that, like it says here, we are a sanctuary, that Yeshua is a body, he's the head, and each of us are a part of that body. And we really need to think about, with the sanctuary that we have, what are we putting into that body? Because, you know, if you're looking at the spirit of the Torah, and just like today, don't boil a kid in its mother's milk. Well, it meant something 3,000 years ago when Yahweh gave it. It doesn't mean too much today because we're not living among Canaanites that are doing this practice. So even though it's there three times in the Torah, you know, we could learn what it meant back then. But I don't see too many people out here in Israel when you're driving to the Torah store, do you see somebody boiling a kid in its mother's milk? But there are other things going on today that aren't in the Torah because they didn't exist. You know, like we've talked about, dangers of white sugar. You know, that I have a paper, you can get online, 76 dangers of white sugar, just about every single organ in your body, including your kidneys, your liver, everything white sugar will destroy. And it's the way they process it. Not sugar cane, not blackstrap molasses, but refined white sugar is a poison to your body. It's toxic, you know, as well as hydrogenated oils, you know, that most of the cooking oil they want to give you, corn oil and this stuff that's partially hydrogenated, chips you get in the store, and you see so much in the store today that they're putting all these E's, E550, E410, just go online and look that up. Go in your closet when you go home and look at anything you might have, chips or something else, look at those E's and look it up. Do you know some of them is even pork? Some of it, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff. When they say food softener, some of it is Chinese hair. Yeah, I don't know, I don't really want to eat Chinese hair. Nothing against Chinese, but I wouldn't want to eat their hair. I don't want to eat anybody's hair. But I'm saying what we're doing in everything in life, and again, the kingdom of Yahweh is not meat and drink, food and drink. So it's not that we want to become fanatical with it. But at the same rate, we see that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we shouldn't purposely put something in our body. You know, if you knew something, if you went to a restaurant and you knew something had pork, I'm certain you wouldn't eat it. So why on earth eat foods that you're getting from the supermarket that may even have worse than pork or pork? Even a lot of vitamins. You know, vitamins that you're taking for your health, some of them have pork in it. You know, most gelatin, not all gelatin, but most gelatin is pork. Revelation 22, not going to go there. What does it talk about? It talks about the leaves are for the healing of the nations. And Yahweh, in the end time, he's giving us a lot of things where naturally there's a lot of ways of healing. That we should be looking back toward natural ways of organic growing, gardening, all of these things, because this is what we're going to be doing in the kingdom. We're certainly not going to be teaching people about plastic. You know, we're going to be going back to the old paths. And that's what we want to start doing now. We want to start going back to some of those old paths. Jacob 1 and verse 27. Jacob 1 and verse 27 says, Pure and holy service before Yahweh and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So this is pure and undefiled religion before Yahweh. Of course, I don't think anybody would deny about visiting the orphans and the widow, but what about keeping oneself unspotted from the world? Like I said, it's Satan's world out there. How much? Like 1 John 2:15 through 17. Love not the world and the things in the world. He who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all these things come from the world and not from Yahweh the Father. And when you look at the congregation in the wilderness, One of the things I really, really was blessed with writing the new book on the congregational history is that I admired these people that for more than 12 to 1500 years that these people stayed separated from the world and they never compromised. They never compromised. Some of them were taken before the tribunal with their children right there and they said, we'll kill you right now unless you do this, or we'll kill your children. And they talked together, they gave their last hugs, and the children said, don't worry, Mom, we'll never give in, we'll never compromise. As they got their heads cut off or they were burned at the stake, or maybe stoned to death. And they said to the ones who were ready to do it, they said, you may be able to kill our body, but you can't take our soul. And all you're doing is putting us that much quicker into the kingdom of Yahweh, because death is just the blinking of an eye. But throughout all those years, story after story after story of the faith of these people without compromise. And we're living in today, the Laodicean era, lukewarm. It's a whole era of compromise. That's all it is. Everybody compromising. You know, that as long as it's somebody else. You know, somebody always wants a counsel. I work on the Sabbath. How can we get around this? Quit your job. Quit your job. No getting around it. No compromise, no retreat. We need to do it. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, but a good man from himself. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, but a good man from himself. So what do we see? We see the Laodicean wants to justify, but we see the Philadelphian wants to get away from himself. Like we say, I joke, but it's really not a joke. That guy Don, I'm trying to get rid of him now. 32 years, he keeps following me. You know, look forward to the day that Yahweh's going to snuff him out for good. It's time to rededicate. We're entering a new era, and it's not a good era. We have a good one coming, but the one we're entering, it's not a good era. It's an era where the world is going so fast into more immorality, where anything of Yahweh, his covenant, his marriage covenant, his sanctity, his holiness, that Satan is smearing as much as he can. And unfortunately, the people of this world are going for it. And that's why Yahweh says, because they love not the truth, I'll send them strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. And you know something? They're getting it. They have the delusion. They're believing the lies. And what on earth would Yahweh's people be doing with them? What on earth? It's time to enter the ark. Last scripture I want to go into here. Actually, two more. Genesis 6. Genesis 6, 5 through 7. And Yahweh saw that the evil of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the day long. You would think he's talking about our time. And Yahweh sighed with sorrow that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved to his heart. And Yahweh said, I will wipe off man who I've created from the face of the earth, from man to beast to creeping thing and the birds of heaven, for I repent I made them. Now all of us know the story of the flood. Worldwide, every generation has a story. They just made a movie about Noah, not really about the biblical Noah. But do you ever equate it? When you read the story, is it just about the flood? Is it just about, ooh, you know what? Maybe they found Noah's Ark in Turkey. Or do you really take this to heart? That Yahweh is saying, I can't stand you. I can't stand you. You are evil, you're wicked, and I'm getting rid of every single one of you. Every one of us. You know, it's not like I'm going to hide under a table. Every one of us. He says our hearts and our mind and our thoughts are evil continuously. And that hurts me to the core. Because I know it's part of me. But I know I have to leave me. And that's why when I see what's happening out there, I know if I jump on the other side, I know it will affect me. Because I'm just as evil as anybody else. And that's why I got to sanctify myself. Because I don't want it to affect me. And it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. Then in verse 7. Genesis 7:1. And Yahweh said to Noah, you and all your house come into the ark, for I have seen you righteous before me in this generation. Verse 4. For after 7 days I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and will wipe away every living substance that I have made from off the face of the earth. Verse 9. Two by two, as Elohim had commanded Noah, they went to the ark, male and female. Isn't that interesting? We're supposed to go out two by two too, right? And male and female, just like the marriage covenant. A male and a female. You need a male and a female to reproduce. You know, don't they get that? You don't hear that when they're pushing their homosexual agenda, that in one generation there'd be no new people in the world. You know, where are they going to get children from? Two by two, they went in the ark, a male and a female. And it was after 7 days, the waters of the flood came into being on the earth. And those going in went in male and female of all flesh, as Elohim had commanded him. And Yahweh shut the door behind him. 7 days before the rains came. Are we heading into the last 7 years? Are we in it? I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, we're coming close. And I can tell you this much, it's time to get into the ark. Yahweh didn't wait to the last minute. He didn't wait until the waters were coming and many, you know, and you dive inside and it's some kind of action film. No. Yahweh said to him, 7 days before the rain came. Maybe 7 years? Who knows? 7 days before, get into the ark. I'm telling you, we in the last year, just in the last year, we have turned a dangerous turn in world events. And it's not going to get better from here. You're going to see 2:14 is a setup year. It's a setup year. We see what's happening with this peace process. We see what's happening with Hamas and Fatah coming together. We see everything pulling apart in the sides. We see Russia and America. We see the war in the Ukraine. I'm telling you, things are changing fast. It is time to get into the ark. Because when the door is closed, it's still 7 days to the rain, but you ain't getting inside. So if you want to stay on the other side, if you want to compromise with the world, you want to have 1 foot out and 1 foot in, you are playing Russian roulette with your eternal existence. There is nothing for us on the other side from there. We have to dedicate this year as the year of holiness, of the year of really each of us seeking in ourself, of coming to Yahweh in pure holiness in every part of our life, no matter what it is, of wanting to fully come to Him and surrender to Him in all things. People will stray away from Yahweh, the brethren, they'll compromise here and there, less prayer, less Bible study, more worldly ways, lose the zeal to want to be with brethren, stop coming to Bible studies until they completely fall away. Every year, I said this at Passover, some miss Passover because they die, and some miss it because they leave the congregation because they refuse the old paths. And finally, Yahweh gives them over to a reprobate mind. You can only play this game with Yahweh for so long. You can only quench His spirit for so long. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do to the glory of Yahweh. And I want to end this message where I started it. I want to end in Jeremiah 6, and I want to read it again. Because maybe it meant something when I started, and I hope it means something more as I finish. Jeremiah 6 and verse 15. Were they ashamed when they made an abomination? They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know to blush. So they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I visit them, they shall be cast down, it says Yahweh. They're not blushing. There's no repentance. They're prideful in these acts against Yahweh. So, says Yahweh, stand by the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And I raised watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the ram's horn. But they said, we will not listen. So hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, that which is coming on them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, for they have not listened to my words, and my Torah, they also rejected it. We have to seek holiness. We have to go back to the old paths. It's time to enter the ark. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.